What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hi, everyone. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline.
That was spooky.
A Date with Dateline.
A Date with Dateline.
We're so tired from CrimeCon. It is so hot. We're recording this for the second time because I had... It's like my swamp ass from New Orleans continued back to my apartment in Los Angeles. And I dripped sweat through just my whole apartment. Like, I drowned in it.
So we're going to call it technical difficulties, which is actually... Kimberly was a fire hazard because sweat was dripping into the keyboard and causing...
Sparks.
Yeah.
Sparks.
We were afraid of an electrical reaction.
This time I have my air on, so you can totally hear it. And guess what?
We're doing it. We're doing it with air.
You guys are just going to have to deal with it. I love you all, but you don't understand.
A Date with Dateline.
I'm going through...
Now, with air. Yeah, it's going to be good.
This episode is called The Overlook. Red rum, red rum. Am I doing that right?
You're doing it really well. That's why I'm giving you like, I'm trying to give you like a nod. Like, yes, very good.
Could I go as Danny for Halloween?
If you go as Danny, I will do the Shelley Duvall again. Let's do it.
That could be kind of funny.
We could also do a very funny version of the twins in the hallway.
Come play with us.
It would be very funny.
With the foot disparity in our heights.
Come play with us, Danny. Forever and ever and ever.
I think that might be hysterical.
Yeah, that could be really funny. Right. Come play with us, Danny. Were they British?
No, they just speak with very good diction.
Like so Frasier.
It's it's that continental accent.
Yeah. Is Catherine Hepburn.
Well, and also what, I don't remember which friend it was. And I'm sort of glad because I don't really want to say the name of whoever it might be. But, I know who it is. It's not a friend of ours. It's a friend of a friend. And she always puts on a continental accent when she goes to Europe.
Is it Madonna?
No, it's someone
we
know.
Are we friends with someone that's friends with Madonna?
No. Well, that's not... I feel like we would know if we were friends with someone who is friends with Madonna.
Not if they're loyal to Madge, because then they wouldn't tell us.
Yeah. Why?
They'd
it's a secret that they're friends?
Secrets close to the vest.
Where's Madonna's daughter? Where's Lourdes? Where does she hang out?
She's probably has her own children by now.
Is she friends with Paris Jackson? Are they friends?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay, cool. Let's keep going.
So, this episode was originally called Texas Twist, and there's lots of twists.
Yes.
But this one is called The Overlook. We did cover Texas Twist, so you could go back and listen. I am praying that we did not repeat a lot of the jokes. I did not go back and listen. So... maybe I'm going to say things that I think are really clever, and they're actually just ripping from myself 2 years ago.
So this whole thing has like a disclaimer at the beginning. These might be recycled jokes that neither one of us remember, but were in our subconscious anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Does Texas Twist sound like...
Is it plagiarism if you steal from yourself?
No, it's just annoying.
Okay.
Does Texas Twist sound like a candy bar?
No, it does not.
What about a donut? Definitely no. A donut. If you go into a Texas donut shop, they say, would you like a Texas twist?
No.
Or do you want a bag of holes?
No. Okay. Doing the opposite of improv. You're like, yes, and. I think it sounds more like a alcoholic beverage.
Oh, you're totally right.
I usually am.
Yeah. Well.
Wow. This episode aired on June 7th, 19, the year of our 2019, the year of our Lord.
Where were you when you watched this episode for the first time? Just out of curiosity, were you at home?
No, I was actually at CrimeCon watching with the staff and hosts and fans of Dateline.
That's right.
But you made me brag about that. I was not going to.
I wanted to let people know that we got to see this episode. Oh, were episode you there too? Sometimes. I was
were
in and
there?
Out. I was in and out. I had a
I
lot of things
seeing
going.
You.
Yeah, I had a lot that night. It was a Friday night in New Orleans, Pride weekend. It was busy. I was busy.
Yeah.
But it was delightful. Anyways.
You and Dennis snuck off and went on a riverboat casino, didn't you?
We were really... No. Kimberly and I could not find a riverboat casino to save our life. We saw many a riverboat with the paddle wheel. I saw, like, two, but no casino.
This is season 27, episode 36, hosted by our best friend, Sir Mankey with the Hanky. I think our friendship is now cemented.
Yes.
Because we've now hung out with him multiple times. That means we're friends, right?
He gives you a kiss. He always gives Kimberly a kiss on the cheek.
Does he?
He does. He sometimes gives it to me, but he always gives you one. Don't mm-hmm. think I haven't noticed, Josh. I've noticed. I've been taking a private tally in my head going, well, maybe next year. Maybe next time. It's a little sad. It's all right. I'm good. It's fine. I don't care.
Whatever. I'm blushing. So... this episode takes place in Texas. As Josh says, roping, riding, and Friday Night Lights. Mm. Now, I was just watching the Monday night episode, and he did the three thing, but he did alliteration the whole time. And this time, he didn't, which was odd to me.
What'd he say on Monday nights? What was the alliteration?
I do not remember off the top of my head, but it was something with C's.
Hmm.
And this could have been roping, riding, and roids.
Running back. That's what I said. Running back.
Oh, yeah. And do you know what a running back does?
And I did know what, sort of knew what a running back was. A little bit, but not entirely sure. It's someone that runs back when the quarterback is throwing a ball.
They run
That's
backwards?
My guess. Yeah. Have you seen them do drills on football fields? No. When would you have seen that? Never mind. Scratch that question.
When I went to spring training.
Yeah, exactly.
Every year I camp out.
When you're auditioning for the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders. God, that show is great. Oh,
I missed that show.
Oh,
is that
show.
Still on?
You can watch it on CMT. If you download CMT onto your phone, the app, they've got a bunch of all the old seasons.
I like that show.
Man.
Katie and I do have a fondness for cheerleaders auditioning or trying to make it to some sort of championship.
The championships are the best. I'm not as much a fan of the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders reality show as actual competition, crazy good teams that do the gymnastics and stuff.
No, the MTV show was by far the best, and I can't remember what it was called.
What's the one that's coming back? You and I saw it. We both got excited.
Cheer Nation?
Maybe. What, TLC? No. Mm-hmm. Lifetime.
Oh, right, and it had the coach
Lifetime.
From Cheer Nation.
Yeah, because I think Dance Moms is gone-ish, so they got to replace it.
What a shame. So
it's time.
Wait, she's alive still, right? I didn't mean to say what a shame, and she's
no longer
with us.
No. Abby's here, but Maddie's gone. I mean, as soon as any Dance Moms watchers out there know that as soon as Maddie Ziegler left, as soon as the girls left, we're Maddie McKenzie? No, we're...
No, I've already lost interest. So... Christine Chappas and Molly Olguin grew up in this town in Texas, and unlike the first time they aired this episode, Mank pretty much gives away right away that they're a couple. There's like a picture of them canoodling, and he says they shared a very special bond. And last time, they didn't bring that out till after the attack, that it was like, dun, 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 and they were lesbians. This time... we don't care, which I thought was nice. Also, happy Pride Month.
Yeah.
So this original episode was one of our first controversial discussions we ever had, which was, were the Spice Girls a band? I'm going to say no. They don't play instruments. They're not a band.
No, they're a group.
They're a group.
They're a girl group. Girl group. Yeah.
We should have talked to Mank about this. They also had to edit a lot out for time since they have this new update, but they cut out, do you remember Molly called her car Jabbar Makar?
Oh, I forgot about that, but now I remember.
Yeah, it was kind of funny, and maybe a little racist, but very funny.
Molly was really likable.
Yeah, all the friends were.
Yeah, they all are. Their friend. Actually, they are. Yeah.
I want to go to Taco Bell with them and hang out.
Yeah.
In June of 2012, Molly and Christine went to the park to hang out at night. The next morning, they were found bloody, duct tape binding them and covering their eyes. They are naked, gunshot wounds to the back of the head. The injuries are so terrible, the police can't tell which girl is which. The cop goes to touch one, and she's cold, touches the other one, and she moved. She's alive. She survived. And that's the first Texas twist. It's incredible.
Which is great.
Oh, my God. I can't even comprehend how she's still alive.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. And which one made it? We got to go to commercial to find out.
You know what I found really funny that I forgot to mention before? That we get no buildup of, like, they've been missing for 24 hours. Like, you can sort of tell where the emphasis is going to be on the episode by whether or not they go into that or not. They don't touch it at all. That, right. Like, the parents were, like, calling the police, and they were out looking for the girls, and they couldn't find the car. Right. They were supposed to go to the movies that night, and then it was sold out or something, and then ended up at the park.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's all.
That's a good point.
Sorry. That's all I'm saying. It's not that good. I just thought it was funny.
We need the sound effect that they have on These Are Their Stories, which is like, wow, that's great.
Oh, dang it.
I'm sorry.
No, because I get it all the time. I would get it 70% of the episode. People get sick of it.
I just get it. You could do it to me, too. It could be a dual button.
When?
Sometimes I say things that are
my
dumb.
My sound for you is that.
Ooh, that's
going to be that. It's going to be that. I don't know. Don't say that. Yeah, it's going to be that.
I might be editing that one out.
If you hear that sound, you know something's been edited. Yeah.
So Molly was the one that didn't make it. Christine survived but is in critical condition. She needs brain surgery. Oh. And she's in a coma, I think.
Yeah, coma.
But if you're interested in this kind of twist, like who is it that survived, check out Mistaken Identity, the book, and there was a Dateline about it. It's incredible. I cannot recommend it enough. So they find shell casings at the scene, and on the Overlook, hence the title, the police find cigarette butts and an empty Monster Energy drink. So this killer is classy as F. And also, cigarettes and Monster Energy drinks were basically Katie's diet circa 2012. So I have a lot of questions for you. Number one, how dare you? Number two, where were you in 2012?
Number three, you did this joke in Texas Twist.
Did I?
Yep, recycled joke. Now we need a bell. I'm ringing an invisible bell over my head.
Did you re-listen to Texas Twist?
No, but I know you did it. I think either you did it or I said it. You did it, and then I had written in my notes for Texas Twist, is this me? What did I do it? Did I black out?
Listen, I still think that is within the realm of possibilities.
No. But I do think that we should explain to people why there's an overlook. This park place is on a water?
It looked like the beach, but then there was a park, and then there was grassy hill.
I remember us discussing Corpus Christi and how it was on water.
I don't know. It looked really pretty, though.
Yeah, it's really pretty, but the overlook is this little, like, deck that sits like out, and then there's this steep hill going down, which will make more sense later.
Yeah.
But I feel like we should explain the topography a little bit, just to so it's understood. Sorry, they said topography in the episode. I can use it. I'm using it.
They did?
They did.
Wow, I missed that.
I wrote it down, topography, because I was going to try to make a title from it. And the title I came up with was less than subpar. Negative par.
Okay. So these girls had no enemies. Everyone loved them. Mark that off your bingo card.
Yep.
Christine awakens after brain surgery. And first she can only communicate through blinks. But then she's able to kind of write things down. And she says she didn't know the man that attacked her. She thinks he was 5'8 or 5'9. And he smelled like cigarettes. Again, I have questions. But you know what? If having this witness around is what convinced you to stop smoking, then, I mean, you could have just chewed some Nicorette. But whatever. Glad you're healthier now.
The face I'm trying to give you right now, I'm thinking of that bird from the Muppets, the one that frowns, that doesn't like anything, the eagle. That's the face I'm trying to give you right now.
The bird from the Muppets that doesn't like anything.
Yeah, it's a bird. It's a blue eagle. And he gets really mad at everyone all the time. He's very stern. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No. Are you sure you're not talking about those two cranky old men in the balcony?
No, I'm not. I'm talking about a bird.
You are all weirdos.
Ugh. Here's the thing. Nope. Lost it. Never mind. I was going to try to defend myself, and now I can't. All right.
Christine is recovering. She walks with a limp, but she looks incredible. She does all this physical therapy. She has to teach herself, like, to swallow again. It's unbelievable. Oy. Christine tells them that they got to the beach, and they saw this guy who gave her the creeps. Ladies, listen to your instincts.
Yep.
If he looks like a pervy DJ and he walks like a pervy DJ, then he might just be a pervy DJ. So the guy comes at them with a gun. He referred to them as Girl 1 and Girl 2, which is so rude because we are not numbers. We are size beautiful. Correct. We are size determined. Mm-hmm. We are size energetic or whatever.
Exceptional. We are size exceptional.
Size exceptional. Both girls, oh, this is so sad, ask each other if they're okay. And that was the last thing they ever said to each other. Dateline is trying to hurt my heart, and it's forcing eye fluid out of my eyeballs. I don't like it. It's just terrible. It never gets easier watching this story. This poor girls. The guy raped Christine, and then she had to duct tape Molly and herself. And then she heard the gunshot, and everything went black. I was kind of hoping that if you were shot in the head, an angel that looked like Anderson Cooper would kind of guide you through the process, but apparently there's just nothing. So that's cool, too. Thanks, universe.
Yeah, I had a question about that. I was wondering
I feel great now.
When she said that everything went black. I'm like, I wonder, well, Josh probably also didn't ask her, but I'd be curious to say what she, maybe there was just nothing. Okay, we can't think about that right now. That's too much.
I won't be able to sleep tonight. Thanks.
Can I also ask, though, why do you think that he had... I didn't remember that the order was that he'd actually assaulted her and then had her duct tape. So why did he have them duct tape their eyes if they'd already seen him after?
I don't know. Why? I don't know. I got nothing.
Okay.
The order might be mixed up in the way she's telling it.
The duct tape on the eyes just doesn't make a lot of sense to me, period. Because duct tape on the eyes seems to be that he was wearing some sort of a disguise and then had them duct tape their eyes and then took off his disguise. So then they wouldn't see him. But in that case, why would you duct tape someone's eyes if you were planning on killing them anyways?
Maybe it was to calm them down so they didn't have to see their friends being killed.
So somehow he was just like real nice about that part, but everything else is a monster?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. I got to think about this a little more.
I don't know if you're going to find an answer here.
I don't think I am.
Maybe you'll find a theory. The DNA from the cigarettes and the monster can lead to not Katie. Yay! Katie's off the hook.
All right.
But it belongs to Dylan Spellman, who lived only a few blocks away from the crime scene. Spellman. Mm-hmm. Is he a Jew? Am I related to him?
Mm-hmm.
All these familial DNA cases are making me think that each one of us is related to, at a minimum, 4 killers. Any one of us will be getting calls from the police at some point in the next 2 years saying, hey, you know your great uncle? He was Jack the Ripper.
I definitely don't think you're related to him.
Why not?
A very important point that we will be getting to very shortly.
Oh.
In a physical characteristic that Dylan Spellman has that you are challenged in. Not challenged. You are just different. You are size different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. You're saying I'm short.
Yeah. I'm saying you're a short stack, and I'm saying he's a smokestack, which means maybe not related.
That you don't know. DNA's weird.
That would be really weird. He looks like he comes from a long line of redwoods. And you maybe you do too. You're right. I don't know. I don't know science that well. So if you call science later, you can ask them what the chances are that you are related to someone who is that tall. Not just tall, but like extraordinarily tall.
So he looks a lot like the police sketch, I think.
I thought so,
which
too.
I usually never do. Like that composite of Queen Andrea from a couple weeks ago, I did not think looked like her at all. Yeah. But this one I thought looked a lot like it.
Yeah.
And also his name is Dylan, so like a lot of Dylans, he has an air of bag of wieners about him.
Mm-hmm.
Normally I really like skinny, pale guys, but he has that like look that says he might bite off my face when he's doing bath salts. And I find that less attractive.
I think that maybe we should start doing bag of wieners and then bag of needles for someone they're a teen,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
maybe they do a lot of weird drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. He says he was at the park the night that it happened, but he was there earlier. That's why his DNA was there. He did smoke and drink a Monster Energy drink, but it was way before. Christine cannot point him out of a lineup, but she doesn't pick anyone out of the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And like we have said, he is 6'8".
Mm-hmm.
He's the tallest bag of wieners we've seen in a long time.
That's really tall.
That's like a paper bag that holds baguettes bag.
Oh, yeah, the long bags. Yeah, yeah.
And filled with long pepperoni sticks instead of wieners.
Yeah.
Christine had said he was a foot shorter, so the police cannot get past this detail. The case just stalls because they can't get past the height thing. So it's been 2 years, and a new detective takes over, and he gets a break that changes everything.
Uh-huh.
And that break was something we'll find out about after a word from our sponsor.
Bum, bum, bum.
With summer approaching, it's time to focus on your health and wellness. I'm trying to build a healthy routine that is comprised of walking, ignoring the fact that Taco Bell's nacho fries are back, and taking my care of vitamins. Yes, what? They are back. Oh, they came God. Back like the day we got back from CrimeCon.
Let's do
it was
this.
Meant to be. I loved taking the Care of 5-minute online quiz. It is so fun taking a quiz about yourself. It makes you feel really important. I pretended that I was famous and Care of was Mario Lopez interviewing me about my health goals for Access Hollywood. And I'd say things like, thanks, Mario. I feel great.
It's good. I could see it.
Thank you. It's hard to know what to do for your health because everywhere you look, someone is recommending something insane, like only eat onions for the next 30 days and start drinking your pee. But Care of tells you exactly what vitamins and supplements you need to be your healthiest. And I love these little personalized packs that they give you.
So
mine
great.
Say, hi, Kimberly. And I'm like, hi, Care of, what's up? And they're like telling me a cool fact or an inspirational quote. And then I take my vitamins. And they also have protein powders for your dietary preferences and vegan and vegetarian supplement options. So
that's
they're
great.
Pretty amazing. We both took our Care of vitamin packs to CrimeCon.
Yes, we
that
did.
That is the first time I've ever taken my vitamins with me on vacation. I mean, it's a lot of work. This was easy.
It's really easy.
They make it really easy and convenient.
They're really great. And honestly, I have sort of an awkward purse. And I was a little bit worried because I didn't. Sometimes I keep them. I normally try to keep them in the zippered pouch in the back. And I didn't. I kept them in the body this time. They never fell out. I was good. They're great.
Do you know how many times we were walking around CrimeCon and I was looking so nervously at your purse, which you just
it's
kept
just open? It's awkward. It's an awkward purse. I meant to switch it out before we left. I forgot. I did not forget my Care of vitamins, however.
So for 25% off your first Care of order, go to takecareof.com and enter dateline. That's 25% off your first Care of order. Go to takecareof.com and enter dateline. And take care of yourself.
Treat yourself. Care of yourself.
I think I just snorted. I got really excited. I got really excited about the Carav, and I snorted. That was a new sound. I haven't heard that one before.
I like it. Thank you, Carav. Everyone,
thank you.
Check
we
it
love
out.
Carav.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Investigators in a neighboring town received a mysterious letter addressed to Christine Chapo. El Chapo?
Nope.
Where is El Chapo? Did Sean Penn bust him out of jail yet?
I think you did this joke last time.
In the original episode?
In the original episode.
I don't even think Sean Penn had interviewed El Chapo back then.
The last time we talked about Sean Penn was, I believe, in this episode.
No, I think we talked about Sean Penn having to do with probably other things because he works his way into a lot of datelines.
Sean Penn, what are you doing?
Why do you like El Chapo so much?
Why are you the way that you are?
Better friends? This letter says it's from a hitman who says he's been hired to kill the surviving victim, Christine. Huh. It starts with, "My name is of no importance."
Oh, good Lord.
Is that from like every Bond movie ever? What is that from?
I was never given a name. Yeah, it's really a lot.
Yeah. Also, it's very sad. Somebody needs a little positive self-talk. Claim your own space, buddy. Your name is just as important as everyone else's.
It's not, though.
No, it's not. This letter also contains details that the police had not made public, like that the person had the girls duct tape each other, that he called them girl one and girl two. He says that the killer is Cristobal Melcher.
Sounds about right.
It also sounds like the newest pro on Dancing with the Stars.
Yes, it does.
Fresh off the 19th season of Little People, Big World, it's Amy Roloff dancing with Ukrainian newcomer Cristobal Melcher. All of those words will be said in 2020. I bet $100 right now.
You bet me $100?
I will bet you $10 right now.
I'll take that bet.
Okay. Amy Roloff, you got to step it up, girl.
Well, you got to find it. You better find a dance partner named Cristobal Melcher. I'm not worried about
her. Yeah, that's
probably
harder.
That's a lot harder. You set the. I would like to go with the original bet, which I believe was 100, and I have it on record. So
there was
clever.
A glitch in the system.
Uh huh. You're a glitch
so,
in the system.
Yeah, I am. So the Cristobal guy, Cristobal. Okay.
Yep. Sorry. I just let me have it. It sounds like crystal ball.
Okay. So your future says that you are going to make many jokes about how his name says sounds like crystal ball.
Just one, because you didn't like him last time, so I'm not doing it this time. I've learned and moved on. I've come up with new, fresh puns for other things. I don't need you anymore.
So crystal ball was in, it does sound like it actually, the more I say it.
See?
He has an alibi. He was in rehearsal with Amy Roloff. No, he was at military training, so it can't be him.
All right.
He thinks the letter could have come from his ex-roommate, David Strickland. Now, they cut this part out of the new updated version, but I went back to my notes briefly because I knew there was something we were missing from Texas Twist, And the reason he knows that this letter is from his ex-roommate, David Strickland, is because in the letter, there's a photograph of Cristobal that the hitman is saying, this is the killer. And in the photo, the person's cut out of the photo is David Strickland. It's like if I sent the police a picture of you and I and your arm was still visible, but I like cut out the rest of you and then you saw the picture and you were like, yeah, Kimberly did that because that's me. But like you can see her sweater in the side, like that's her hair right there. She just cut herself out. You're so dumb.
It's really dumb. It's really stupid.
Also, it's probably a photo that like only them were there. They went to like Six Flags or something and got their photo taken. And he's like, oh yeah, I remember that day we got our photo taken at Six Flags. It's obviously me and him because no one else was there. There's the Viper. We know.
Yeah.
So yeah, no. Exactly.
Also, I know they don't live in Texas. So this is a very far-fetched letter anyways. They were roommates in, like, Utah.
Yes.
So
you're
why
pointing
would
the finger at someone that lives states away and had an airtight alibi that you probably could have investigated fairly easily.
Correct. No, he drove down to Corpus Christi to kill this girl because she snubbed him while taking his order at Taco Bell, was the story.
Did Molly work at Taco Bell?
No. No, Christine worked at Taco Bell, I believe.
Oh.
So that's how, that's what they said.
She could have gotten me a lot of those nacho fries.
In the letter, yeah. I'm really glad you told me that they're back. I did not know that they were back. I thought they were gone forever. They need to just bring,
It was trending on Twitter that they were back. That's how I knew.
Was it? Oh, I don't know how to do that.
What were we talking about?
The stupid letter that's so dumb.
Yeah, with the picture that is cut out. I can't. Why? So they know, the police know who David Strickland is because they had actually interviewed him right after the crime. He had come into the station as a good Samaritan, which is always a good sign.
Bad sign.
That you are.
Nope.
Not a Samaritan.
No, you're not.
Wait, is a Samaritan inherently good? Is good Samaritan like a double?
Don't think so. Samaritan, I believe, is like an Egyptian. Like, I think Samaritan is a place. No, I'm saying I think it's like from, so a good Samaritan's from the Bible, right? So Samaritan is like what you'd say like for, they are a, I don't know, Los Angelin.
Okay.
I believe I've had this thought before and I looked it up, but I could be dead wrong.
A member of people, well, this is the second definition. The first one is a charitable or helpful person.
Mm-hmm.
So really good is inherent in that, and it is, you don't really need the good part. Mm-hmm. But it's also a member of a people inhabiting Samaria.
See?
In biblical times.
So I think that, because nobody ever says a Samaritan came up. They always say a good Samaritan.
Yeah.
So a Samaritan, it's just a people, but it just sort of got, it was a catchy Bible term.
Catchy?
That you don't hear that often.
No, it was an earworm. Got into people's heads and they were how can we use Samaritan as much as, let's come up with a really good word for it. Like when someone does something awesome, like helps out a fellow man, lets them cut in line at the airport, that person is now a Samaritan.
No. I'm telling you, the Good Samaritan is a parable in the Bible. The Good Samaritan comes
so
and helps someone.
So was everyone in Samaria good people?
No, it was
were
the
they
good,
a town
no,
of helpfulness?
They didn't say, no. They didn't say the Samaritan comes and helps. They said the Good Samaritan, so the good person from that area, came and helped his neighbor.
As opposed to the bad person
so this
from
is
that
a parable
town.
That has just continued on. Like, this is a parable that has just made it all the way up to present time, that is a term for a good neighbor. All right, press on. Letter.
So, David Strickland had come in as a good Samaritan, which we've now discovered the origin of, and he had seen a white car driving away from the scene of the crime. Or had he?
What is that even? Is that Cristobal's car?
No, this is No. Yeah, well, that's probably what he's going to say. Is so does Cristobal drive a white car? Was he trying to set up Cristobal even back then, two years earlier?
I think that he thinks that he's going to give them the car, and he probably has most of the license plate, but is clever enough to not give the entire license plate. It's like, oh, it's 3MX0 something.
So smart.
And then what is it? But then he's like, well, they're not running plates from Utah, you dummy. And then, or he's going to say it had Utah plates and it was this, 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 and this. And they're like, okay, this guy's all right, but he's a little goofy. And then he sends the letter to like clinch the deal. He's not bright.
Mm-mm.
He's a real dum-dum. Strickland is killing me.
Did we come to a consensus if a dum-dum criminal is spelled D-U-M-D-U-M? Because I put it on the bingo cards as D-U-M-D-U-M, like the suckers.
Yeah, that's how... No, I think that's just understood. I don't think we had to come to a consensus. I think that's fact.
Okay, great. I just want to make sure.
Yep.
So after the shooting, Strickland had moved. No, see, this is what I don't understand. Because after the shooting, he moved to Utah and met Melcher. So he didn't know Melcher at the time of the shooting.
Oh, so.
So he was just injecting himself in the case by saying he saw a car before he even knew Melcher.
Well, that's
that makes me think he did it more than ever.
Yep, that's a strike on Strickland. I'm
unless I'm misunderstanding something and he had already known Melcher, but I don't think so.
Nope, I'm doing that. That's the tally. Okay.
So they lived together, but then it went terribly bad. Melcher had Strickland arrested for stealing his guns. I mean, most of my relationships with roommates end because I don't do my dishes, but also because I steal people's guns. There was bad blood between them, and Band-Aids don't fix bullet holes. No. We'll say sorry just for show. If you live like that.
All right.
You live with ghosts, Katie. You know you do. So did Strickland do this to get back at Melcher for getting him arrested for stealing the guns? I understand that your butt hurt because you got arrested for stealing your roommate's guns, but this seems extreme.
And he did steal the guns, right? We're sure he stole the guns.
Well, that is Cristobal's take on it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Strickland is the innocent victim in all of this. Maybe Melcher did it and is setting up Strickland to look like Strickland is setting up Melcher. Solved it. Done. Bye, everybody.
Stop. I got lost.
Makes no sense.
I got lost.
Makes no sense.
That made
don't
my,
analyze it.
That
don't,
made my face
don't try.
And my head hurt. Say it
don't,
again.
Don't try to analyze it.
Okay. No.
It'll make less sense the more
you
think
did it.
About it. Yay. Right. Woohoo. Right. So they look into Strickland, and they have this photo of his possessions in his car that they took when he was arrested for stealing the guns. And they see a gun that matches the gun at the scene of the crime, matches the bullet shells.
Mm-hmm.
They see a glove that is exactly like the glove that Christine described. And the reason she knew what kind of glove it was is because she played softball. And it's like this the brand of glove that she knew very well.
Mm-hmm. Under Armour.
Under Armour. Yes.
Do you not know what that brand is?
Yeah, no, I've heard of it.
Okay.
I play a lot of sports, Katie.
No, it's not just sports. I mean, just people wear it around.
They do?
It's like Lululemon, except it's more prominent than that.
Really?
For real?
Okay.
Yeah, do you know what this symbol looks like with the little U?
Yeah, I saw it on the episode.
But you didn't know it before that?
I would have seen it and been like, that's a logo for something.
Like, did you really not know it?
No. Who knows the Under Armour logo by heart?
Like millions of people.
Just why are you wearing Under Armour?
Are
you working out every day?
I'm not wearing Under Armour, but I mean, they make like undershirts. They make underwear.
For ladies?
No, but for guys.
How would I know that? how much time do I spend looking at men's underwear or undershirts? Well, we've already established that my life is very sad because all I do is eat nacho fries.
You don't. All you do is not eat nacho fries because they just came back. So that's not true. So you had months to go and find out about men's underwear.
I had a hoard in my backyard.
That's why they're soggy.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hear any more complaining about it. Because if you're hoarding them in your backyard, which also is not safe.
No.
It was in a cooler, like a wine cooler type thing.
That would be amazing. Your electric bill's just huge. Because you have this one, like, electric. What's in there? Nothing. Nothing. And they think it's a dead body. And instead, or body parts. And instead, it's just filled with nacho fries. But you then have to reheat. And you haven't gotten down what the exact number is on the microwave to reheat them. Because they're all frozen. Oh, gosh.
That's so frustrating. I either burn them or they're frozen.
I hate that.
And the nacho cheese changes consistency when you microwave it.
First of all, you cannot reheat Taco Bell. Let's just be real about that.
No Taco Bell. You throw that away if you don't finish that.
You're done. Yeah, if you don't finish it right then, don't save that 7-minute burrito.
Your body is going to have enough problems digesting that when it's fresh. No. Don't push your luck.
Yeah.
So the shell casings at the scene do match the gun that Strickland had. At least that's what the lawyers and the police are saying here. They arrest Strickland, and he is smiling.
No.
He's smirking. It's like he knew he was going to be in a Mank episode, and he wanted to have a smirk off. Smirnoff. Smirk off.
Smirk off. Brought to you by Smirk Off Vodka.
Yeah. Is he not totally smiling in his mugshot?
No, he is.
What is
weird.
So funny?
No, it's like those people that don't understand, like, just because you're taking a picture doesn't mean you have to smile. You do not have to smile. It makes me think that he's a dum-dum, to be honest.
Yeah.
When I see smiling headshots, I'm like, oh, you're just a dummy.
Yeah.
Because you're like, Mom told me to smile. Oh, yeah. It's weirdo. No.
Everybody say felony. Felony. So the DA we meet has a red power tie and a spectacular accent.
Correct.
It was that slow, not articulating the syllables very much.
Molasses.
Slow. Like molasses. This flower is wilting. That's more New Orleans, but it's still pretty
It was
good.
Thick. It was Kentucky Fried Chicken thick.
Yeah, he says to shoot those two girls in cold blood, he is certainly a psychopath.
Yeah, psychopath was
psychopath.
Good. Yeah, that was really good.
Now, at the trial, they reveal that they searched David Strickland's computer, and although they can't find the actual letter that he said came from a hitman that named Cristobal, it's in the hard drive because he did spell check. Apparently, you can erase a document, but the data of your spell check of the document is still saved somewhere.
Which does not good. That's not good.
No, it's not good for me.
No, it's not. Stop sending creepy letters and stop trying to frame
really
me for
like
stuff.
I really like doing it.
I need you to stop framing me for things.
But it's my number one hobby.
I know. But
it's my
really,
happy place.
The police are unhappy because they do not want to drive all the way out to my house. It's not great.
If I have to choose between sending the police a letter filled with grammatical and spelling errors or being arrested for a crime, I might choose jail. Because I can't live with Dateline showing a letter that spells it Y-O-U-R instead of Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. Just lock me up.
I know. This is
and my poor parents, when they go to the dog park, they'll have to deal with that shame. Either their daughter is in jail or the world knows that I have to try 3 times before I spell the word calendar correctly. So we're all losers in this situation.
I'm sorry.
I can't stop writing the letters, though.
You can.
No,
but you won't.
No. It brings me so much joy.
All right.
It sparks joy.
It does not spark joy.
Framing you for murder sparks joy. Now, The defense attorney, I thought it was like a mullet, but you didn't think it was like a mullet.
No, I thought it was like a long hair. Like a long-haired cat. It just looked like he wanted his hair long. It was a choice.
Yeah.
Well, a mullet is a choice too, but it's a different kind of a choice. That's a lifestyle choice. A mullet says something about your lifestyle. Mm. A long-haired cut says not much. It just shows a style. Like, this is my style.
He had another good accent.
Yeah, he did.
He said, she don't know who shot her.
Oh, yeah.
She don't know.
That girl don't know who shot her.
Who shot her? So the defense team thinks that the gun evidence isn't conclusive. They don't know that these bullet shells match. And they think, yeah, he wrote this creepy letter, but it was just about revenge. It doesn't mean that he actually did the murder. They think the real killer is Spellman, the guy whose DNA was on the cigarette butts and the red. I keep thinking it's Red Bull. What's the difference?
Monster?
Yeah.
Nothing. Monster tastes better.
Oh.
I'm sure a lot of people are not going to disagree with me, but it does. Sorry. Monster tastes like punch.
Can you please have your own neck tattoo gate and have it be Monster Gate?
It's not going to be that bad because I'm not disparaging Red Bull. I'm saying it tastes better, but I'm not saying Red Bull tastes bad. It just
I wasn't disparaging neck tattoos either. I
definitely
was saying,
were.
If you have
definitely
one.
Definitely were.
It really screams you're going places.
Right. And so that is mean. And I think that your definition of what is mean is, yeah, it's mean and it's judgmental.
What's the noise? So they think the real killer is Spellman. And the defense lawyer says, he's a better match than my boy.
I like that.
But the court finds your boy guilty.
Yeah, they
do. Cowboy. Can I call him Cowboy? Do you think he'd like that?
Probably.
I think he'd like it.
What's the name of this? What are they doing in this town? Roping, riding, and Friday Night Lights. Yep, absolutely. You call him Cowboy.
And running backs.
Or you call him Judge.
What?
No, what do they call him? Not solicitor. What do they call it? What's the fancy word for lawyer?
Counsel. Barrister?
Thank you, counsel.
Counselor?
Counsel.
Counsel.
Counselor. Yes, counselor.
Is that right? No, counselor's like a guidance counselor.
No, but
counselor.
Counselor. No, what does Matthew McConaughey say in A Time to Kill? Whatever.
Oh, God.
I think it's counselor.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's got me thinking all sorts of thoughts.
I'm sure it does.
In that movie.
Matthew McConaughey in A Time to Kill was Matthew
How do you
McConaughey.
Go from that performance and that level of sex appeal to those creepy ass car commercials where he's playing pool with like his ghost or something?
What?
Do you not know about the commercials?
I do, but I don't remember them being that creepy. I just remember being like, oh, he must have gotten paid a lot of money to do that. Is it Porsche?
Have you never seen the SNL parodies of those commercials?
No, I haven't. We've established that you watch SNL and I do not unless you tell me to watch something specific.
Well, you should just find those clips because they're really funny.
Okay, maybe I will. But yes, I do know. I do remember the car commercials. No, but he's good in True Detective. I thought Matthew McConaughey was good.
Yeah, he was good.
Okay.
No, I think he's talented. Now, my opinion matters.
no,
like,
I think
he's
talented.
He was just dying to know what does Kimberly think of my performance. And so this is how we end the last episode, A Texas Twist, with Christine having survived but lost her girlfriend, and it's just incredibly depressing. It's like a Melissa Etheridge song on downers. It's terrible. But we get a little bit of a perk up, kind of, a little bit, with our update. Kind of.
Really?
Well,
we get a twist. A
little bit. Last time, your description of our show, the episode, said, what is the Urban Dictionary definition of the term gunza? I just do not know what that means because I didn't re-listen to the episode.
Gunza. Gunza. So instead of guns, it was gunza.
You think that's what it was?
No. Might have been.
You also wrote, does the misfiring of brain neurons really cause certain pronunciations of words that will lead Kimberly once and for all having to take to her bed? I think that was because that was the episode I noticed that Mank sometimes says, like, cool whip when talking about the W thing.
But, I think it was, and you couldn't.
And I couldn't deal because I love him so much. But that's a pet peeve of mine. But now I don't notice it anymore. So I think because my love for him has overshadowed that.
No, I think you're just growing as a person. I think this podcast is forcing you to grow as a person.
That's so beautiful and totally untrue. You also said we have a multiple choice. Are Strickland and Spellman, A, suspects in a murder case, B, a new law firm specializing in high-priced divorce settlements in Dallas, C, a dynamic comedic duo from the old-timey vaudeville stage?
That's clever.
No, I think it should have been Strickland, Spellman, and Melcher.
Oh, yeah.
Specializing in real estate law.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they could be on Selling Sunset. You know, no, Selling Dallas. Selling Dallas. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. Or whatever the neighborhood is. Selling the Lakes. It's got to be a neighborhood in Dallas.
Okay, so it's been a couple of years.
Yes.
And Mank is like, I'm back, everybody, and I brought along an update.
Mm-hmm.
So what's up? Guess who's back? Mankey's back.
Back again.
Tell a friend.
Ha!
Now, Christine is back in school, and she has a new girlfriend, and she's doing really, really well. And then one day, she sees a story online about her case and how there's been a huge twist in the case, which I think is so messed up that no one told her. Like, tell her.
Do they have to tell her? I don't think they have to tell her. It is polite. It is Texas polite to tell her, but
she's like going online trying to do research for her, you know, chemistry test or whatever, and then she sees an article with Strickland's creepy smile staring back at her from his weird mugshot.
That's not great. Yeah. What is a photon? And then on the side.
Yeah.
Strickland DNA test. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would not be awesome.
Now, so we have this new attorney, Cynthia Orr.
Yeah.
She is David Strickland's new attorney.
Yes.
Would you like to say what you said to me at CrimeCon?
Yes. I leaned over and whispered very creepily, she has the same color hair as eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Her eyes and her hair are the same color, like a cat.
She basically has yellow eyes.
Yeah, she has amber eyes.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is a song. Country song, maybe.
Amber
she
eyes.
Had, yeah, I'm she had a. You. Maybe.
Watching your, no.
Maybe
my,
like.
My amber eyed girl.
No, not a song a that's already song. There. Like a. She had auburn hair and amber eyes. Like something like that.
Oh, did you just make that up?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Why aren't we writing country western songs?
I don't know.
I feel like there's a lot of money in that.
Because Garth Brooks took all my ideas. Thanks, Garth.
We have had heartbreaks and troubles. They always have troubles. Man, I got troubles.
We don't live in a place where there's thunder. We have to live in a place where there's weather.
There was thunder a couple weeks ago. It was the first time in like 5 years, but there was thunder.
Yeah, it's not the same.
No, it's not the same. My heart has no seasons.
But you can't say weather the storm if you live in Los Angeles. People don't understand what weather the storm is. Not.
Yeah. So Cynthia, she says that there was this piece of hair that was found on Christine's body, and they think it is a pubic hair, which is the first of 8,000 times they say pubic hair in this episode. And it turns out that no one tested that pubic hair before the trial, during the trial, not the defense, not the prosecution, because why would you test a pubic hair when it came off of someone who was raped? That's ridiculous.
How did this happen? Like, how?
I know. It's just, I don't.
Years. This isn't also like 6 months after the murder. This is years later. You've had years to test this hair.
Yeah.
You don't have that much to test. You tested the cigarette butts. You tested the monster can. Maybe you test the hair from someone's genitals that shows up on the body of someone who is sexually assaulted. That's...
can't believe you just said genitals.
Sorry, but that's the first test you do.
Yeah.
That's the first one. The rest of them come later. You're like, oh, I have a cigarette butt. Great.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the one that you really need to test because that's going to give you the most information. And instead they're like, nah, that's okay. But why didn't the defense team test
it? Correct. Which makes me think that he could try for insufficient counsel.
Yeah, I bet that's what they're going
insufficient
for.
Counsel. Didn't test the pubic hair.
Insufficient counsel.
We got a hair from his pubis that was not tested.
Ew! Don't say pubis. Everyone's upset. Everyone in this room is upset. Is it just me? I don't have any cats in here, but if they were in here, they'd be upset. They'd all have to leave. Not okay.
So, Cynthia... the new defense attorney submits it to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll never guess who it comes back to.
I know.
Cristobal Melcher. No. Amy Roloff. Done. She did it. Little People Killer World. What? It is Dylan Spellman. The first guy that they looked at whose DNA was found on the cigarettes and the energy drink. So he maybe was like on the Overlook that night grooming his pubic hair.
No.
Which is something you do in public.
What, with like a little comb?
Yeah, no. Like and some barf. Like hair gel. Like straightening it out and stuff.
Just bejazzling.
Yeah. And because maybe they, I don't think they do that in Texas. I think in Texas you'd hear that boy ain't right. He's got his pubes out.
Well, wait, it's not called vajazzling. It's called pajazzling?
I think it's...
what's that called?
Vajazzling.
That's for if you have a...
if you're vajayjay.
Vajayjay. Yeah, but Clovis. If you don't have
if your Clovis
that,
has...
Clovis is getting rhinestones.
Right, but if your Becky's protege is getting...
is getting crystals.
Crystallized, it's your Becky's...
pajazzle.
Okay. Projazzle. Projazzle. I can't...
that sounds like a pill. Projazel sounds like
it'll help with your IBS. So we don't know what's going on. But yeah. Cynthia is sure that he's the killer because why else would his pubic hair be there? And her client, Strickland, is innocent. Cynthia thinks that Spellman did it, and she points to his previous history. He had done a home invasion before the murder.
Uh-huh.
He and his accomplices had tied up the homeowners and referred to themselves as like 1, 2, 3. So that's suspicious. 4. Yeah, I forgot what came after 3. So then they had also tied up the homeowners with duct tape, but that seems pretty common in home invasions. I don't think that's as telling because duct tape is so basic in crime. It's like the pumpkin spice latte of adhesive tapes. So something they don't bring up in this episode, but they did in the original episode, is that Spellman failed his polygraph. We don't know if Strickland was given a polygraph, which would be very interesting to know. Mm-hmm. Oh, and you had another really good point. Did
what?
Strickland smoke cigarettes?
Yeah.
Because... Christine said that the guy smelled like cigarettes. And we know that Spellman smoked cigarettes because DNA
his
was
DNA
there.
Is on them. Yeah.
But did Strickland ever smoke cigarettes?
And was Strickland's DNA on any of the cigarettes? Or was only Spellman's DNA on those cigarettes?
I don't know.
Because there were multiple, right? It wasn't just one. It was a couple of them.
Yeah. But if you were about to attack someone, would you really leave your butts all over? I don't know if it was planned or if it was just a crime of opportunity.
Did he just happen to have a gun in his pocket?
Well, he loves his guns and his Under Armour
gloves.
Which one? Gloves.
Who loves their guns and their Under Armour gloves?
Oh, well, they all do. It's Texas. But, yeah, I think they both. I would guess that. So Spellman. Yeah, I think Spellman had a gun, too.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised. I could just be guessing. But he does look like he does bath salts, so.
Yeah, the mugshot's real bad, guys. Spellman?
In the first one, he's looking away, like down.
Yeah.
He can't make eyes with the camera. He's not smizing. Right. And then the next one, it looks like his face is boring itself through my TV and it's going to chew my face off.
It's not good. It's also, he's kind of scary looking. He's really big and he has head tattoos, which unlike neck tattoos are terrifying. On his shaved head, on the sides, he's got head tattoos over his ears, which I don't know what they are exactly, but they're
I did not see them. I would have been very upset if I had seen them.
Did he have gauges too? That was the other thing I thought that Spellman had. I thought that Spellman had those gauges in his ears.
I don't remember seeing that.
But that would have been a big tell. Like if he had some remarkable feature like that, you know?
Oh, I thought you were saying because he has gauges, he's probably the murderer. And I was like, yes, Katie's tattoo gate has finally arrived.
Oh,
gauge
no.
Gauge gate.
Oh, you're
but
not going to
get me. But you were just saying she might have noticed specifically if he had gauges.
Yes, you're not going to get me that easy.
You're too careful. But not even that you're too careful or too smart. You control the editing power.
That is 100% correct.
Yeah, you could just take that out. So this is all information that the cops knew.
Yeah.
But they never thought that it was Spellman because he's so tall. So they just let it go. He's so tall that he probably heard "How's the air up there?" on a daily basis. And that could be his motive for snapping.
Hourly basis.
He just snapped one day. Cynthia thinks maybe Christine didn't notice that he was so tall because he went down the steep hill first, so their heights would be evened out. That makes zero sense because he accosted them on the platform when they were on the same level, and then when they went down the hill, they were again at the same level, and he was up close because he unfortunately raped her, so his height would have been apparent at that moment as well, I think. And I know she had brain injury, but what are you saying no to?
I don't think that it would have been that apparent. I don't think that you would pay attention. I really don't.
She paid attention to every detail, though. Her facial sketch looked so much like him. And this is after brain surgery.
Looks so much like Spellman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, also, I believe that the sketch, he had light eyes, right?
No, I don't. Well, it was black and white drawing.
I just remember Strickland has very dark eyes. I need to go back and look at the sketch again.
But the drawing did look like Spellman, even though he was way taller. So I don't know. Maybe they both did it.
That's a theory. It's not a great theory, but I mean, it's really confusing.
And Amy Roloff were down on that beach.
No, she was. Let her be. Let her live Amy Roloff. Her life. Then why do you keep bringing her into this? It's not her fault. She just went on Dancing with the Stars with Crystal Ball. She's not, there's nothing else that she's doing.
Do you think she'll win the Mirror Ball trophy? I think she could.
Is that what they get? I've only seen Dancing with the Stars twice.
They win like a disco ball trophy.
I don't actually know. Who has actually won it? Who's won? Mario Lopez win? Was he on it?
I have no idea. Cynthia thinks the letter doesn't prove that Strickland knew about the case.
Yeah.
He had got some things right. That's true, but he had also gotten a lot of things wrong. However, she doesn't really tell us any specific things that he got wrong.
I want to know what he got wrong.
Yeah.
Did you pause on the letter?
Yeah, I only really could make out the part where it said, "My name is of no importance."
Dang it. Okay. I tried to find the letter and it was no good.
Mank is super skeptical of what she's saying. Or someone in the crew just farted and he just smelled it. Something's going on with Mank there. He's not happy with Cynthia right now.
I can't tell what Mank thinks of this whole thing.
I think he's skeptical of the whole thing.
Did he read the letter? We should have asked him. I'm so furious. We should have asked him, did you read the letter? Tell me everything.
Yeah, what did he get right? Who did it? New head, who this? Who did it?
That's about what he's going to do if we call him.
Who dis? New phone, who dis?
Is Kimberly like, and Kate.
It's your best friends. We just hung out with you.
I had a question about I was at the airport
with you, too.
Okay,
the district attorney with the power tie says he would totally admit if he had the wrong guy.
Absolutely not.
He says, you god dang right I would.
No, but that makes...
I'd kiss a god dang dead dog in the god dang road on a god dang dare.
What episode is that from? When's that guy kissing the dead dog so people know what we're talking about?
It was... Well, he met the guy at church, and he was out on bail.
Yeah, well, what's that? A few episodes back, there was a gentleman who told a story about how he kissed a dead dog on the side of the road in a dare.
It was 11 minutes, because remember he said, yes. We all do dumb things when we're teenagers. I kissed a dead dog on the mouth on a dare.
And everyone threw up.
When I was 17.
And said, no, sir, I've never done that.
That's what we should have talked to Mank about. Yeah. I think he said on Twitter that they cut it so it looked like he had no reaction, but in reality they had like a 10-minute conversation about it.
Oh, I'll bet they did.
Okay, so he says, the district attorney says, I would totally admit it. We all know that almost never happens, that Mm-mm. the district attorney admits that they have the wrong guy. Uh-uh. Mank says, well, it's an amazing coincidence that Spellman's pubic hair wound up on Christine. And the DA says, well, no, it's not an amazing coincidence. It's just a coincidence.
No.
Which is a Seinfeld episode where they discuss if there are degrees of coincidence.
Maybe you think we're in cahoots.
No, but it's quite a coincidence.
Yes, that's all. A coincidence.
Big coincidence.
Not a big coincidence. A coincidence.
No, that's a big coincidence.
That's what a coincidence is. There are no small coincidences and big coincidences.
No, there are degrees of coincidences.
No, there are only coincidences. Ask anyone. Are there big coincidences and small coincidences or just coincidences? Well...
Which there clearly are degrees of coincidence.
Yeah.
And this is an extreme coincidence. And he says, well, maybe he was smoking on the Overlook and he's wearing shorts. And don't you know, Mr. Mankiewicz, that sometimes people's pubic hair just pluck themselves right out of their pubis and they float off into the wind. And it's very beautiful, like that plastic bag in American Beauty. That's not exactly what he said, but part of that was true.
I'm sorry, is a plastic bag in Forrest Gump or in American Beauty?
American Beauty. Seriously?
What's in Forrest Gump? A feather?
Yeah, there's a feather.
There we go. So we think that he was diddling, and that's how the pubic hair got down there.
It's certainly not out of the realm of possibility.
Or he was going commando, and he scratched himself.
You know what? That's a great point, too, because I know several dudes who do that on the reg and think we don't see it even though they're doing it right in front of you.
I don't think they know they're doing it. No, yeah. I think that that's just a – I think it's just a habit. I think it's just that itch, and so it doesn't.
So this district attorney also doesn't even believe it's a pubic hair.
Oh, he has
not been given irrefutable evidence that it is a pubic hair.
What's irrefutable evidence?
I don't know. Apparently, they can't really tell from hair technology what kind of a hair it is. But I think like a texture issue and a length issue might be able to tell. But again, science, call us.
But also, am I wrong in thinking Dylan Spellman at this time had a buzz cut, correct? He had very little hair on his head.
It was short, but I don't think it was.
Very short. Almost shorn.
Maybe. I feel like he had a pointy part at the top. Like a little bit Hitler Youth.
I see. Maybe you're right. All right.
But the texture would be different.
Correct.
Now, I definitely think we've broken the record of the number of times pubic hair is said on Dateline. I am keeping official records. It is my onus to be the pube secretary of Dateline.
Who asked you to do it?
The executive producer.
No one asked
Crime
you.
Con said, you've been chosen for
Zero.
A very special mission.
We Zero need people
you to be
have
pube
asked.
Secretary.
No one wants
and
this.
And I said, that is a huge burden on my shoulders, but my shoulders are wide enough for us all. And I will take this I will lift this sword out of the rock.
No. The stone. I'm gonna kill you now. No, look, here's the thing. No one asked you to do it, and I didn't notice it, that they said it that many times, which is on me, because apparently I'm just an idiot. Yes. I just didn't notice.
No, you're not an idiot, but I don't know how you didn't notice.
I'm not sure either.
We even Mank had to say it. They're all saying it's just pubic hair.
It went away after a while to me. I was like, okay, it's all right. It didn't strike me.
That's odd.
Yeah, it is odd. All right.
So if there was someone was burping, you would have noticed.
If someone was burping the words pubic hair, I wouldn't have noticed. And I would have written a strongly worded email. And being discontent.
So the DA does not think that they need to give a new trial.
Of course not.
Yeah, no. But Cynthia's not going to give up. She wants Strickland to have a new trial, and she wants Spellman to get arrested, which probably means that this could be part deux of a part trois series. What? Why are you
part
going?
Part trois.
Isn't
you
that
mean part two of a trilogy?
Three?
Yeah.
Three.
Are you doing it all in French?
Yeah.
It's good. It's part classy.
Un? I don't know how to say one. Is that un? Yep.
That's good.
That's all I know.
What's four?
I took Spanish. Cuatro.
No, definitely not cuatro. Four is the hard one to pronounce.
Quatre. No.
That's what I say. Yeah.
That's not right. No.
That's the four in French, and you've just insulted many of our Canadian listeners.
Sorry about it.
Our French listener.
I'm Jewish, and Hebrew has many
don't
of those
do that.
Too.
You don't
we have a whole lot of those chs. So, no offense.
No offense.
Taken. Or given. Dispensed. No.
Well, that
no
solved it.
Offense.
No offense
dispensed.
Meant. No offense meant.
Yeah. So what's he, do you have outside info?
That would be funny if somebody made no offense mints instead of no offense meant, and it was MENTHE, and they were in a little can. No offense mints, and they were the mints. Do you not understand what I'm saying? You know how they have funny mints sometimes that'll say funny things on them, like, I don't know, toilet breath or whatever. So instead, it would be a pun, and it would say, no offense meant. I'm going to write it down for you. You're not understanding what I'm saying. It's a
no,
good
I,
idea.
No, I think I understand.
I don't think you do.
No, I think I get it.
You just don't think it's a good idea?
I just don't think no offense meant is a very common expression. So I just don't think it would work. I don't think enough people would get it.
No offense meant?
Yeah. And who uses the word mints? Like menthols.
I've seen it on fancy mints before. So if you did a little fancy mint can with this in scrolly script, I think people would buy it. I think I could sell that at weird little hipster shops.
Go on Shark Tank and pitch it.
All right.
Copyright. But I gotta say, I'm not buying what you're selling.
If I did a GoFundMe, would I get any money? $5.
$5?
Okay. Yeah, from Oliver, probably.
Yeah. Do you have outside information?
Yes, I do. All right. My outside information is that there is a $500 million lawsuit that is being filed by Christine and her family against Strickland, Strickland's dad, and a pharmacy. So apparently, Strickland's dad owns this pharmacy, and she said that Strickland's dad was negligent, knowing that he had violent tendencies, that he didn't stop him or prevent him from committing this crime.
Why would they be suing the pharmacy?
I have no idea.
Pharmacists cannot prescribe medications.
I think she's suing the pharmacy to make sure she gets the money, because it's a business.
Mm.
It's actually kind of smart.
Mm.
That's how you get money. You don't personally sue someone. You sue their business.
Yeah, I'm very surprised.
Yeah,
she deserves... I mean, someone should be paying for her medical care and her pain and suffering.
Oh, no, absolutely. She's been through hell.
But I don't know if the pharmacy is the right place to be suing.
Do you think that this fits into why she is so sure that it was Strickland? Because she's so sure it is at the end of the episode. She's like, no, I know it's not Spellman.
She doesn't seem like that is her motive behind it. I think it's more like when you just, you think you know something and you know, and then it's been wrapped up and solved. And she thinks she needs to know. She needs to live in a world where that guy is behind bars, the guy who killed her girlfriend and almost killed her. So she has to believe they have the right guy. It happens almost all the time on Dateline because people don't like conflicting information in their brains. So they don't want to have information that makes them uncomfortable, like maybe their wrong guy is in jail.
I get that. All right.
I still love Christine.
I do too. No, I absolutely do. I'm just wondering if this plays any part in that.
Right.
I don't think so, but okay. The next information I have is that Strickland and his wife were both arrested. So, why isn't she suing the wife?
Strickland, the one that was smiling, has a wife?
Yeah, Smiley has a wife, Nancy, and she is charged with tampering with evidence.
Oh. So, what did she tamper with?
I don't know.
The guns. The glove. Maybe it was a different kind of glove and she swapped it out. She knew something. What did she tamper with? It has to be the gun. Something with the gun.
I think it's the letter. Okay, here's why I think it's the letter. So we know that Strickland wrote the letter no matter what and tried to frame Cristobal.
Absolutely.
So the problem is that if he got things wrong in the letter, he got things really right in some cases. So come to find out, what came out in trial is that, and something like both detectives were either fired or asked to step down from this case. And the reason was both of them kind of messed up. The first one messed up because he did an entire interview without his tape recorder on. And I don't know who it was with. I don't know if it was with Spellman or whomever.
That sounds like something my mom would do.
Yeah. Well, and the second one. Well, and the weird thing was, the other strike I keep forgetting about Spellman is that Spellman said in his first testimony when he, or not testimony, when it's in his first police interview, he starts asking about a plea deal. He starts thinking he's going to go down for this. That seems weird to me.
Or he just watches a lot of Dateline.
You think Spellman watches a lot of Dateline? I think Spellman watches a lot of Family Guy.
Oh.
That is uncalled for. Oh. I know you have beef with Seth MacFarlane, but he is my future husband. You need to lay off. And Spellman watches 2.5 Men.
I'm pretty sure Spellman watches South Park.
Maybe South Park.
There we go.
South Park is different.
And fail videos.
I love fail videos.
Yeah, so does Spellman. So that's good. Okay, so anyways, the other thing, the second detective, so the one detective steps down because of the recorder. Second detective steps down because...
Wait, what's so bull poop about that is that half these interviews with Jay in Adnan's case, there was a ton of stuff pre-interviews done without recording anything.
You're exactly correct about that. That's really frustrating. All right, second thing. The wife of the second detective apparently worked with Nancy, Strickland's wife, at Chili's.
At Chili's.
So detective's wife and Strickland's wife work together at Chili's. Maybe they're on shift together. And so apparently that second detective's wife had given information to... Nancy, which is maybe how he got the information for the letter.
Because they were gossiping over chicken wings.
Yes, absolutely. They were making somebody a margarita on the rocks with extra salt.
And then app the other sampler.
Person, yeah, the other person was doing app sampler.
Mm-hmm.
Please no bacon wrapped shrimp because they have shrimp allergy.
Mm-hmm.
And then
they were gossiping about the case.
Yes. And he said they called them.
He called them number one and number two. Did you hear that? It's awful.
Because they're just like gabbing.
And then someone's like, Nance, they need a refill on table four. She's like, 1 second.
Yeah.
They duct taped. They had them duct tape each other.
Oh, their eyes. Can you imagine?
Baby girls.
Do you think? I know. I think they were gossiping.
Oh, my gosh. That's, but we're not just speculating. They actually think that this is what
that happened. Comes out in trial. That's why that second detective was asked to step away.
Vuhlman.
Yeah, whatever.
He was asked to step away, too.
Yes. In the trial, they said that. It was somebody, some DA or somebody said something.
Very upset.
I just want all the information. I feel like we need to do one more follow-up on this 2 hour. And I need to know all of this little bits of information.
We'll compile a list. Once Josh Mankiewicz unblocks me, I will send him the questions. And they'll do another episode.
Also, I want to know how tall Strickland is. How tall is Strickland? Is he 5'8"? Or
I'm
is
assuming.
He like 6'1"?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because if he's 6 feet, then that makes a big difference to me in this case. Because then he's not anywhere near. And keep in mind, I have a height awareness problem.
Yeah,
I always
do.
Think everybody's like a certain height, and yeah. They're not.
No, that's true. You have height blindness.
I do. So, just saying. All right.
It's a real disease. # find a cure. So, B-roll bonanza.
Yeah.
We have, I think it's Vuhlman,
yeah.
Looking pensively around the brush at the scene of the crime.
That sounds right.
It reminded me of the one we did recently where that cop that later managed McDonald's wandered around the grass for the entire Dateline episode.
People loved that. Yeah.
Yeah. Get out of the grass, buddy. Any B-roll bonanza?
Flying pig in Vuhlman's office on an invisible wire.
You think it was magic?
No, I just thought it was interesting because I couldn't figure out what it was.
Where was it flying?
It was behind his desk. It looked like I thought for a while it was an anatomical heart. I couldn't see it quite right, and then I saw it was a flying pig. I don't know why those two things looked the same to me.
You think he makes jokes about it? Like when people come in his office, and someone will say, you know, we've gotten a break in the case. We're going to solve this. And he'll be like, when pigs fly.
Or he'll just point. He doesn't even say it. He just points.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his thing. Oh, that would make me want to punch him in the face.
Yeah, I'm really annoyed already right now.
Yeah, sorry. That would be really irritating. The Violet Andrews Park is important. But I'm not going to talk about that this time. We had a Linda moment with it. I'll discuss it later.
I can't remember what it was.
It's just that.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
Okay, so the Violet Andrews Park is where the Overlook is. And I did a lot of searching for Violet Andrews. Could not find it. I don't know who she is. I'm sure she was a lovely lady or perhaps a victim of some crime. Because
and she got
I don't
a park.
Know. But I did a famous Google search, like in the devil's bathtub, to try to find out something. And in the question section of Google, there's one question left by Linda or Linda's husband, Larry, and it's there, and I've texted it to you so you can read it to our listeners.
Okay. So, Violet Andrews Park.
Yeah.
The question is there air here? Is there air here? Unwritten part of that question is, or do I have to bring my space suit like when I go to the moon?
Why is that the only question?
Do you think she meant air conditioning? But it's a park. Who would think there's air conditioning in a park? She must have meant air. Does she think the atmosphere is different in this park?
Or is that like her punk teenage son?
Is there air here?
Yeah.
Look what I just did. I totally punked Violet Andrews Park.
Yeah.
And I wrote, is there air here? Because I'm a bag of wieners.
Yeah, that's Jasper.
Oh,
who's just like, is there air here? And he's
Jasper.
13, and he has terrible acne. Sorry, Linda.
But you know it's true. It'll get clear, that boy some Accutane.
It'll clear up later. And send Don't him give to him boot Accutane. Camp. That'll probably make him into a psycho. Just get him a good Retin-A prescription and call it a day.
But he also needs to go to one of those Dr. Phil boot camps.
No, he definitely does.
He sounds like a teenage dirtbag.
He needs to go with Cash Me Outside.
Yeah. there was a quote that Mank said, which I really liked, was, "This is old wine in new bottles."
Well, that's really good.
Sort of how I feel every day.
Oh, hey, there was also... Oh, God. I'll say that. There was a whodunit type murder. That was a quote from our Kentucky Fried attorney.
Whodunit type murder.
Whodunit type murder. It's in the very beginning, but we can mark whodunit off bingo cards. A real whodunit. Yep, there you go.
Were there any brands unhappy being on Dateline and are now associated with murder?
Spice Girls?
Under Armour?
Taco Bell?
Monster Energy Drinks?
Cigarettes.
Which were probably already associated with murder, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Violet Andrews, whoever she is, sorry.
Poor girl. Maybe she, did something really awesome in the medical field.
And basically any place called The Overlook, don't.
No.
What, have we not learned anything from The Shining?
No, we haven't. I mean, no, we haven't. I just know I haven't. I make those mistakes that Jack made every day.
Topographus? Is that a thing? Anyone that studies maps or physical landscapes.
Isn't that cartography?
That's cartologist, right. So topography would be the shapes of land. Is that what's happening? Landscapes? I'm doing this motion like that means a thing. It doesn't mean anything.
No, it don't. Joan Rivers Fashion Police.
Yeah.
I was expecting bigger hair. Sorry. And I was a little disappointed because I thought everything is bigger in Texas. Like, the hair is bigger, the pubes are bigger.
Oh, barf, bigger. Stop saying that. We got bigger accents.
We did get bigger accents. Also, Mank was wearing two crocheted ties, which I don't remember from last time. Because I thought the first time I had seen those ties was when we covered Selling Sunset. When we talked to Kate Casey on her podcast about it. And I did not understand the crocheted tie. But now I think it's kind of hip because Mank was wearing it.
Are they cool? I think they are hip. No, they're cool. I think they're a good alternative for the classic tie, if you want to spice it up.
Are they just going to start doing other fabrics on ties? Like a burlap tie?
No, maybe. Yeah.
I think I can make a lot of money selling a burlap tie right now.
Just like, you know how they make skirts of hair extensions? Maybe they'll just start making ties of hair extensions that are all braided together.
They make skirts of hair extensions?
On Drag Race, they sure do.
And yet we don't think a lone pubic hair could have traveled on the wind. People just wearing hair all over their bodies.
It's not magic. They're gluing it onto a skirt. That would have been magic if that lone... Well, I don't know.
Maybe he goes to the park and explores himself on a daily basis, and his pubes are just covering that area.
The park is literally his masturbatorium.
Yes.
Masturbatory.
Yes.
As it were.
Yes. Then that's not that crazy of a coincidence.
That's nasty. And I don't want to think about that anymore.
Okay. Do you have any titles? My titles were not good.
Yeah, my titles weren't good either.
In Defense of Manscaping.
Okay.
Wait, I was trying to do something with Spellman and spell check.
Wait, in the mints of manscaping? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh my God.
I'm leaving it alone.
No one says mints.
I know. I just wanted to do.
Do you have any titles, please?
Yes. Strickland in the Well. They put Strychnine in the Well.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. Strickland Come Dancing.
I do like that.
Under his Spellman.
But we really weren't. Were we?
No, not a bit. And then overlooking the evidence. You're welcome.
Did you steal that from Twitter?
No, did someone say that?
Yeah.
What'd they say?
And I believe I told you that when we first recorded the episode.
No, you didn't. Did yes. you? I didn't write it down.
That was the only one that I read.
Oh my God, did I inadvertently steal it? I feel really bad if I did. Did I?
That was literally the only one that I read.
I was so excited. I thought of it like an hour ago, and I was like, I want to do
you
one with
You didn't think
overlook.
Of it an hour ago. I didn't. I said it when we first recorded, and you subconsciously stole it.
That makes me really sad. Let me think of another overlook one.
Moms Z in the Hood says, look like they overlooked lots of details.
That's not overlooking the evidence.
It's literally the exact same thing.
Oh, that's really creepy because I honestly didn't even know I stole it.
Yeah, because you weren't listening to me.
I was listening. I swear. I like went into my subconscious. That makes it even creepier. Oh, boy.
I have a correction to read from last week. Oboes don't have strings. That's on me, people. That's my bad. Whoops. Apologizing to anyone in the Reed family.
Yeah, you should. You should. Wait, do you have any other Twitter to read? Because I have to cut all that out because I'm such a jerk.
Nope.
Really? That's it? Right.
That's it.
All right, that's all we got.
That's sorry, we're skipping Twitter. It was too hot to tweet. No,
the
I think
tweets were too
I think
hot.
Everyone's either at CrimeCon or suffering from a severe case of FOMO for not being at CrimeCon, and so they weren't tweeting as much.
Also, don't feel bad if you can't go to CrimeCon. I feel bad about that. CrimeCon is a lot of money.
It really and is.
It's like an event that, I mean, it's a lot to get there, get a hotel, do all that stuff.
No.
Like,
and I
no.
have a, I'm going to post something online that'll, I think, make people happy that even if they weren't at CrimeCon, it'll be a fun group activity for us all.
Oh, you're going to be a good person.
Yeah, I care. Yeah. I have a responsibility to the
there
people.
There you go. You have to make up
God
for
help us all.
PH this for like this last, I would say 40 minutes. Mm-mm. Many, many times.
I'm going to make it my new username on all platforms.
My stomach hurts.
Follow us on Twitter.
Don't.
Under pubic hair.
No.
And Instagram and Facebook.
Stop.
Subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes.
Yes,
and check
please.
Out our Patreon because we do an extra episode every month and we never say pubic hair in it. So. Maybe
no,
join
not
that.
Rarely. It's rare.
Occasionally.
And we never say it in our normal episodes either, except for this time, because now you're just, I don't know what you're doing. You're
I got it. I got you're an just... earworm, and it's
yeah,
called
I know you
pubic
do.
Hair.
With the worst possible word. Stop saying it.
Thank you, everyone. Don't watch alone. Watch
don't.
With.
Don't.
Watch with your pubes locked up
no!
tight and right, because they could get you arrested for murder.
Nope. Watch with your new can of No Offense Mints. Coming soon.
No
to
one
all
wants
cute
those.
Soap shops.
No one says mints.
And Intelligentsia Coffees near you.
No one says mints.
You're welcome, America, Canada, and maybe Bring some parts of Europe. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
And the thunder rolls. And the thunder rolls. Thunder rolls and the lightning strikes. Another love grows cold on a sleepless night. As the storm blows all out of control, deep in her heart, the thunder rolls.